So here we are at the second Sunday of Lent, and I wonder how are you actually participating in this Lenten season of 2021? The annual Common Grace Lent series has been a big part of my Lent practice for the last 6 years, and this year is no different. It was one of the first things, our Lent series last year that I did. Coming on board as CEO, and I've now been CEO of Common Grace for 12 months. And this year's annual Common Grace Lent series is on Jesus and Justice, and it's actually a compilation series of all the Common Grace's previous series. One or two from each of those previous series has been brought together in this Jesus and Justice series. And those previous series have been on the Lord's Prayer, How to Love Thy Neighbor in the 21st Century, the Beatitudes, the parables, and the I am statements of Jesus. Jesus says, I am. And you can find this year's series on Jesus and Justice and all the previous series at our website, commongrace.org.au. And this year, for the series on Jesus and Justice, you can actually download the series with the reflections as a PDF to use in small groups and Bible study groups and even with housemates, friends, and family. Please do check it out and please do share it with others. And our Common Grace Lent videos and reflections are released each Wednesday. We've already had two of those. We've heard from Dr. Reverend Mike Frost and Charlene de los Santos. And I think the video this week might actually be my teaching on the parable of the Good Samaritan. So you might want to go and check that one out as well. And I don't know how you and your friends and family are going with Lent, but I know in the discussions with my friends in particular, there's still a lot of talk around what are the different commitments people have made, what are the things people are giving up for Lent. And in week two, I still see a lot of commitment happening. We'll see what happens week three and so on. But I still see and hear of those two usual suspects that people give up for Lent, and that's giving up Facebook and giving up coffee. And it was interesting to see this week with Facebook banning news here in these lands now called Australia, how quickly people went for the easy declaration. And I saw many people posting on Facebook, well, I guess that makes it easy then. I'll give up Facebook for Lent. And so they're looking for the easy way out, and many declared that. How many people actually took it seriously? Well, I saw many of them posting, so they actually didn't give up Facebook for Lent. And it's been also interesting to see people not giving things up for Lent, but taking things up. And so I have several friends who are taking action for creation and climate justice and doing one thing for creation and climate justice each day during Lent. And also sharing it with others so it's not just individual action. My friend Nicole made her Lenten promise, and she's kept it up each and every day to do more to minimize her footprint on our fragile earth and share the ideas so others can partake them too. And here at the second Sunday of Lent, we're reminded that there is much going on in the world, including with God's beautiful earth, which is in desperate need of protection. Here in these lands now called Australia, this week has been a difficult one, especially for women, especially for Aboriginal peoples, and especially for our poorest peoples in these lands now called Australia. And then there's the difficulty in our own individual circumstances. I actually had to go up to Brisbane to attend the funeral of Auntie Eileen Sandy Dawson. An incredible Aboriginal Christian leader who had an incredible prayer ministry. And so today I wanted to dedicate this message to Auntie Eileen Sandy Dawson. But Auntie Eileen was also just my friend Sono's mum. And Sono Leone, also an Aboriginal Christian leader, is the founder and leader of Strong Women Talking, an organisation that works with Aboriginal women in prevention of domestic and family violence. Auntie Eileen was only 69 years old, but that's old for my peoples. The reality of the lack of closing the gap is a constant reminder to us. And so the individual situation oscillates with the community and the national situation. And in the last 2 weeks, our nation, all peoples of all cultures in these lands now called Australia, have seen these following instances which have caused pain and suffering. There was the unauthorised destruction of Aboriginal artefacts by Metka EGN, causing pain and injustice for the Wiradjuri peoples. There was a registered Aboriginal heritage site damaged at one of BHP's sites in the Pilbara, causing pain to the Banjima peoples. We pause to recognise the apology to the stolen generations and the ongoing pain for them and their families and those who never found their families. We also heard the Victorian Parliament pass legislation to decriminalise public drunkenness. And whilst this might have been cause for maybe celebration, I'm struggling to find the words for what it is, because so many families still grieve the loss of their family members as Aboriginal deaths in custody over the last 30 years because of inaction. And so we pause to remember Auntie Tanya Day. Inaction for justice caused pain as well. In the federal parliament this week, we learnt of alleged rape and sexual assault, not just one time, but over and over again. We heard men using victim-blaming language. We heard the words that send a shiver down any woman's spine. She said, he said. We saw two men give the parliamentary International Women's Day addresses in this week of all weeks. And so we are reminded that as women in these lands now called Australia, there is a long road to equality and justice. And then let alone for Aboriginal women or women of other non-white cultures. In Perth, we heard that a white man with a swastika on his forehead attacked an Aboriginal woman and her daughter with a flamethrower. Or I actually wonder, did you actually hear about this? Because it wasn't front page news. Why was this not front page news? We are still waiting for the Prime Minister or any government minister to publicly condemn this act and send a clear message that racism is unacceptable. And we are grateful for people like Senator Lydia Thorpe, who continues to speak up in Parliament. She's an Aboriginal senator for Victoria. We also saw footage from an elite South Australian private school, a Christian school, with video of students lynching in a tree, the lynching of a black baby doll. More women and children died in these last 2 weeks through violent acts by men, their intimate partners, reminding us of the epidemic of domestic and family violence. And we were reminded of, in these lands now called Australia, or I learnt, around 50 cases of sexual abuse in aged care homes are reported each week. We learnt that our poorest people in these lands now called Australia were given an increase of $25 per week, just $3.57 per day. This increase makes Australia the second lowest of all OECD countries, only ahead of Greece. And not far from our minds and hearts are the asylum seeker Tamil family locked on Christmas Island for the last 3 years, when the community of Bilawila considers them family and wants them home. In the US, the United States of America, through my friend Shane Claiborne, as he participated and shared a statement from US evangelical leaders condemning Christian nationalism, I saw more than what I've seen in just the news grabs of those people who stormed the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. on the January the 6th insurrection. Shane Claiborne shared actual video and audio footage from that moment they were in that particular place of the Capitol building. And I heard these people for the first time, whilst adorned in Trump flags and US flags, pray in the name of Jesus, whilst armed, committing violence and stealing. And so we enter Lent, Jesus' pain, loss and suffering. Our passage in Mark 8 reminds us of that suffering. But as I lamented the week that was, both on an individual level and on a national level, I did cry out to Jesus, and I still today cling tightly to Jesus. And it was actually our reading from Psalm 22 that I wanted to focus on today, because the verse that stuck out for me was verse 24. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. I wonder for you individually how you experienced pain, loss, suffering, and injustice this week. I wonder what your response was as a follower of Jesus. This psalm, Psalm 22, is an interesting one. When I first read the passage, which is from verses 23 to 31, in light of the week that was, praising God was not the expression or posture towards God that I was actually feeling this week. But we know we must not isolate a passage on its own without the larger context. And so I read the full psalm, and I encourage you also to read Psalm 22 in its entirety this week. Psalm 22 starts with those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? Words more familiar to us at Good Friday. However, these are the words of the psalmist. And Psalm 22 is an individual lament. The psalmist cries out to God in a time of need, even a life-threatening situation. Psalm 22 follows the components of individual lament, invoking God, the complaint, the request for help, an expression of certainty that God will hear and answer prayer, and ends with praise and adoration. And our passage comes at that praise and adoration component. It was actually last night I read a post on Facebook from Clinton Pryor. I wonder how many of you know who Clinton Pryor is. Does that name actually mean anything to you? Or how many of you would know what he actually did for Aboriginal peoples and for all peoples in these lands now called Australia? I actually wrote about Clinton Pryor in an article for Common Grace 3 years ago. It's an article called We Must Walk On, and I'll share the link as to where you could find that article. And I want you to remember right now whether you do know Clinton Pryor's name, because it's part of that concept of tuning in together and staying tuned in. Clinton Pryor, an Aboriginal man, walked from the west coast to the east coast of these lands now called Australia. Clinton left Harrison Island on the 8th of September 2016 and arrived in Canberra 361 days later, before he returned home on the 8th of September 2017, exactly 1 year to the day he left. This included 16 days in the desert, which Clinton says nearly broke him. Clinton walked 5,581 kilometres for justice for Aboriginal peoples. When he arrived in Canberra, having not just walked, but having listened to so many Aboriginal peoples from West Coast to East Coast and carrying their stories of injustice, the Prime Minister would not come to meet him. One of the many lists of demands for justice Clinton carried with him was this, that the Heritage Act to be demolished and replaced with a moratorium placed on all mining leases covering existing and previously deregistered sites. This was part of one of his lists of requests for justice 3 years ago. 3 years ago, we could have prevented the destruction of sacred sites if people had listened to Clinton and to other Aboriginal peoples. But last night, so back to last night when I read Clinton's post on Facebook, and we haven't heard much from Clinton in the last 3 years, but he posted on Facebook apologising to Aboriginal peoples because he felt like he had failed us and not achieved anything. So many of us reached out in support because Clinton inspired us. Clinton inspired me. My hope 3 years ago, and even still today, was that his story would inspire followers of Jesus to walk with us as Aboriginal peoples, and anyone experiencing pain, loss, suffering, and injustice. The realities we face each and every day are harsh and life-threatening. We cry out to God, but we need followers of Jesus crying out with us, walking with us, not just when it becomes newsworthy or at National Reconciliation Week or NAIDOC Week, but each and every day. God sees all and God experiences all. God hears our prayers and answers them. But how much stronger are they when we pray together and take action for justice together in community? Are you crying out to God in a time of need? Are we together in community as followers of Jesus, crying out to God in our time of need? Can you see, hear, feel this time of need? Or does your comfort, your power, your privilege think there is actually no need to cry out? It's all good. But what about for your neighbours? You might be feeling weary by reflecting on all the injustice of just this last week. But imagine living it every day. Imagine Clinton Pryor's weariness at the end of nearly 6,000 kilometres of walking. I ended that article 3 years ago about Clinton's walk for justice with the words of Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. And I share them with you today. Because if you are feeling any sense of tiredness, weariness, or overwhelmingness, I encourage you to walk on. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It is as we walk together, as we cry out to God together, as we pray together, that it makes sense to praise God just as we do in Psalm 22, verses 23 to 31. And I wonder if you were able to participate in Change the Heart this year. And if you didn't miss out, it's not too late. You can watch it at commongrace.org.au/watch. And if you did participate, maybe you could gather some friends and family who didn't watch it and re-watch it together. And today's passage and message reminded me of some words in my Change the Heart message. I said, are you tuned in to the realization that after 250 years of injustice, Aboriginal people still hold out our hand in friendship and seek relationship, the depth of the love? This message today reminds us all of all the pain, loss, suffering and injustice in just the last week to 2 weeks. As we continue through the season of Lent and share in Jesus' pain and suffering, as we head with Jesus towards the cross, and as Psalm 22 reminds us, God has not hidden his face from us and has heard our cries for justice, the depth of the love. So this week, I will cry out to God in a time of need, as an individual, for our community, for our nation, and for the world. I will present the complaints to God, requesting God's help with the expression of certainty that God hears and answers prayer, and I will praise God with love and adoration. I pray you will join me, for together we know, and with a reminder of Mark 8, verses 36 and 34 and 35, as Jesus says, what good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me and for the gospel will save it. Amen.